The House come to order. Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence? Will the clerk please take the roll?
24 members present, Mr. Speaker.
Father Roger Wharton will lead us in the invocation today. Please rise.
Let us pray. O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech you so to guide and bless the representatives of this state, that they may enact such laws as shall please you and benefit the welfare of all inhabitants of this great land. Amen.
Representative Cato, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is your objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Could we have an at ease?
We're at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Under the daily order of business, we are under certification by the clerk. Would the clerk please certify us to the correctness for the previous day's journal?
There is a correction to the journal for the ninth day. On page 112, delete Representative Navarre moved and asked unanimous consent, and insert Representative Grusendorf moved and asked unanimous consent. With this correction, I certify us to the correctness of the journal for the ninth day and House Supplement number 3.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the ninth day is corrected and House Supplement number 3 be approved as certified.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Are there guests to be introduced today? Mr. Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got with me today Dr. Larry LeBeau from Nome. Just a little background. He's got personally 27 years of teaching in Alaska. He's in Gallery A. Between him and his wife, Nancy, they've got 44 years of teaching our children here in this fine state. And maybe if you can stand up there, Dr. LeBeau. He was kind enough to come down with me this session and give me a hand. And additionally, has a real deep interest in fostering economic development here in the state.
Mr. Boucher.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce our student intern from the University of Alaska Anchorage, who is working with us this year, Chad Holt.
Mr. Grusendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, at my stern here, I have Professor Frank Roth from Sheldon Jackson, and accompanying him are two students. I see there's only one there, Charles Zimmerman and Chuck Kingsland. Would you help me welcome to Juneau?
Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce Emma Oyarak, who is a technician for the North Slope Board of Governmental Affairs.
Are there other guests to be introduced today? Are there messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, pursuant to my authority under Article 2, Section 4 of the Alaska Constitution, I have appointed Anne M. Sponholz of Anchorage to fill the vacancy in the Alaska House of Representatives. I am enclosing a copy of my letter of the appointment to Mrs. Sponholz. Sincerely, signed, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to make a motion pursuant to Article 2, Section 12. I move that it be the judgment of the House that the governor's appointee to represent District 13, Seat A, is qualified to be seated pending a new election.
Question before the House is it the judgment of the House that the governor's appointee is qualified to sit in the vacated seat pending a new election? There is objection. I recognize Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of one of my constituents that has lived in the District 13 for a long time and just called up this morning, as I mentioned to you, I think it should be clarified, the question I asked of you, the residency of the individual, because that's the crucial point that some of my neighbors felt, that the person is well qualified through foster parents, and everyone knows her, and the statewide honor she got as Parent of the Year. But at the same time, some people knew her as living in a different section of the city of Anchorage, Bernard and Rabbit Creek, and this individual called up and said, to the best of their knowledge, they did not know she lived in District 13. So with the information that you just gave me, I think that's relevant to the qualifications of the individual. First, does an appointee have to follow the same requirement 1 year prior to filing as a candidate and living in the district? And if she fulfills that requirement, then certainly there's no objection to me representing that area, and I will tell the other constituents who call about it that she evidently is qualified pertaining to residency.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, we did check that out. She is registered in District 13. She's lived in that area for 2 years.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Brief
at ease? Yes, sir. Please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert the introduction, I guess?
Without objection, we are under introductions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend of mine and former governor of the state of Alaska, Mr. Bill Sheffield.
Welcome, Governor. Could we have the Majority Leader restate the motion that's in front of the body, please?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to Article 2, Section 12, in order to hopefully prevent constitutional question from coming up, we're asserting our authority to over the qualifications of our members. And so I move that it be the judgment of the House that the governor's appointee to represent District 13 seat A is qualified to be seated pending the outcome of the new election.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, traditionally in this body, and I would like to have a ruling from you if I could, please, we in the opposition party, when there is an appointment being made, normally do not vote on that appointment. I would like to know if you do, in fact, expect the Republicans on this floor to vote.
For the information of the body, the statutes are silent on this particular question. If a seat is vacated, then the caucus would have to approve the replacement. But since the only precedent we've seen on this is in 1977, when the election of Nels Anderson was in question, then Governor Hammond appointed Martin Severson to sit in the body pending the outcome of a new election. There was no vote taken at that time. So the precedent shows that we wouldn't really have to vote on this, but it was decided that we might be interested in asserting our authority under Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution that allows that we are the judge of the qualifications of the members. So that's the reason why the Majority Leader has placed that motion. It's unclear since the statutes do not address this particular situation. So we are asking for a vote on the qualifications of the members. We believe the member is qualified, and as far as the constitutional requirements are concerned. Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a couple of questions that I'd like to have clarified before the vote, and it's under a point of inquiry, and I hope you'll give the liberty of responding. One is, what is the vote required? Is it a simple majority, or is it a two-thirds vote? And the second, and then I have a second question that I'd like to ask.
Mr. Rules Chairman.
The question as to the vote, Mr. Speaker, would be a majority for seating. The reason why, Mr. Speaker, that the Majority Leader also placed that motion before the body, you could find in Mason's Manual, Section 560, that indicates there that the House has sole jurisdiction as to the qualification of their members and may not divest themselves by either legislative action or tacit consent or consent to allow any other tribunal or agency to make this decision as to qualifications, and that's why the motion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Rieger.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other question I had was, I'm looking at the transmittal letter said that this appointment authority was under Section 4 of Article 2, and it says a vacancy shall be filled for the unexpired term as provided by law. If no provision is made, the governor shall fill the vacancy by appointment. What is the unexpired term for this individual who we are voting for on the qualifications?
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The statutes are silent on this. This is not an unexpired term, and it's not covered in law. That it is clearly a vacancy, so the governor appoints under Article 2, Section 4. There is no unexpired term. There's a vacancy until the outcome of the election, and that is what the motion referred to.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. According to some information that I have on the candidate in question, she said, this is from the elections in Anchorage, apparently the person has been in Alaska since 1972 and registered at 816 North Bund, which I believe is in the district, District 13, on 6/15/88. But that there's a statement that she has lived in the district since 6/15/87. But we don't have at this point any voting record of where the person had voted in June of 87. So I guess at this point I would still like more information to determine, you know, whether I really believe that this person is qualified from that district.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Do we have a brief at ease?
No. Now let's come back to order, please. Yeah. Is there further discussion on the motion? Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And point of inquiry to the motion. First, are we voting on two questions at once? It seems to me that we're voting on the qualification of the individuals and the seating. And if so, I think that we have two different problems. The qualifications, if we're limiting those strictly to residency, can be very easily assured to by the Division of Election and the information that a prior speaker already came up with. But then also we come to the problem, as far as I'm concerned, this has been out of the legislator's hand from the very beginning, since supposedly by a phone call, and I was there at the time you were talking at the end of your conversation with Judge Matthew, that they put a stay on the certification. I think it's extremely important to say that, whereas the lieutenant governor said that he was told by Judge Matthew, and he had it in writing, there was a stay on swearing the individual in. And I think that's a major difference. If Mr. Bradley was certified, then it is in our hands whether to seat him or not. If he wasn't, then it's still in the administration's hand. It's in the court's hand. And I don't feel comfortable right now because there's nothing in writing from Judge Matthew that the stay was pertaining to the certification. And so, at this moment, I don't see where we, as you mentioned, want to legitimize this thing somewhat, that the legislature is pertaining to its constitutional responsibility. But on what grounds? And at this moment, I'd would say that the residency requirement had been fulfilled from the information I just saw. But what other qualifications, I do not know. I do have a history in front of me, and as a human being, great, good person, sounds like. But I don't feel comfortable in answering a double question, qualification and seating at the same time.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Mr. Majority Leader.
I'd like to call the House.
The House has been called. Would the Sergeant at Arms please round up the missing member? I think there's only one person missing. Mr. Gall, we are at ease until the returning member returns. Order. The Sergeant-at-Arms has informed me that the call has been satisfied. Is there further discussion on the motion? Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think it is important to reassert the fact that this House, this body, decides the qualifications of its own membership, and that that's decided by a majority vote. And that this House has given an accommodation, if you will, a comedy to the Supreme Court, in that we did not go forward with the seating of the person at that time who had been certified by the Board of Elections for that seat, because that matter was pending before a court. Now, I think that the former representative who spoke has made a very valid point that we have yet to see something specifically in writing. I'm working and operating under the assumption that there is something in writing which does confirm for this body that the executive branch was stayed in its certification of that elected candidate, and that this legislature was not stayed in that process, because I believe it's a breach of the separation of powers for that court to attempt to tell us when we can sit as a body, or for us, for that matter, to tell them when they can sit as a court. So as a consequence, I personally will be voting against the qualifications of this candidate today, because I do not know her, do not know really anything other of her other than the resume that I've just today received, and the fact that there has been some question raised. But that does not mean that that's a vote against this individual, or she's, I assume she's a very fine person. Merely the fact that as a Republican representative on this floor, I believe that this person is not qualified at this point and will be voting that way. But I again appreciate the fact that the Speaker has clarified for us the separation of powers, which I think is crucial to be maintained in this state and to reassert that constitutional issue. Thank you.
Further discussion. The question before the House is it the judgment of the House that the governor's appointee to represent Districts 13, Seat A, is qualified to be seated pending a special election? Members proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will lock the roll.
27 yeas, 12 nays.
The motion has passed. Are there other messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
At this time, could we have a motion to return to introductions?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we move to introduction, I guess?
Hearing no objection, I'd like to introduce a friend of mine, Tim Wallace, who served with me in the 9th State Legislature. Welcome, Tim. Traditionally, we allow former members to give greetings to the House. Do you wish to say hello today? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Seated with him is a friend of mine from Surrey, Carl Mars.
Did you say there were no other messages from the governor?
I have no further messages, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other House?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Terry Miller by all members of the Senate, and by Representative Phillips, Miller, Hudson, and Rieger. In memoriam A. Dermot O'Toole by Senators Eliason, Sturgeluski, Kurtula, Duncan, Halford, and Rohde, and Representative Grusendorf. Honoring Roy Perapovich by Senators Duncan, Sturgeluski, Kurtula, Halford, Biggs, Adams, Fernkamp, Zemanski, Eliason, Coghill, Binkley, Porchot, Euling, Jaroff, Rohde, and Representatives Grusendorf, Ulmer, and Wallace. The Senate also approved the following citations, and they've been sent to enrolling. Honoring Jed F. Willett, rank of Eagle Scout. Honoring Michael J. Bernard, rank of Eagle Scout. Honoring Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Corporation, outstanding community service. And in memoriam, Albert Brookman, Sr. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
We received the annual report on non-permanent employment in accordance with Alaska Statute 3925-195H from the Department of Administration, and it has been given to each member. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports from standing committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations? And resolutions?
House Joint Resolution Number 14 by Schultz, relating to solid waste management in remote and isolated Arctic communities.
Be referred to the Resources and the Health, Education, Social Services Committees.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Gruenberg.
May we please have a brief reading?
We are at ease. The House, please come back to order. We are under introduction of bills.
House Bill 88 by the State Affairs Committee, an act amending the definition of the offense of misconduct involving a controlled substance in the seventh degree to make possession of less than 4 ounces of marijuana illegal as a violation, and relating to the disposition of offenses of misconduct involving a controlled substance in the seventh degree.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 89 by Navarre and Swackhammer, an act relating to eligibility for retirement under the teacher's retirement system.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance. The printed sheet here was incorrect.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
I guess we're on the daily calendar here, and I don't seem to have one. I'm okay now. Will the clerk read the items on the daily calendar?
Citation honoring Terry Miller, citation honoring Sarah Krapuschet, Twin Cities 1989, citation honoring Eric Gross, citation honoring Agnes Aggie Lee, Governor's 1988 Award for Emergency Medical Services, citation honoring H. Vernon Sluco, Jr., Captain Gamble, Walrus Hunting Party, citation in memoriam Earl H. Stenham, in memoriam the Reverend Dr. Peter Gordon Gould.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to, first of all, I won't be doing this very often, but with the concurrence of the body, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that all members be signed on as a sponsor of the citation for Terry Miller, the former Lieutenant Governor and Senator.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendars have been approved. We're now under unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Are there announcements? Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the committee meeting schedule, the record shows that our resources meeting at 3 o'clock today was canceled. It has not been canceled. The program that we were going to hear has been canceled, but we will continue work on House Joint Resolution 10. So I would ask that all members of the Resources Committee please be prompt, and we'll be out of there in short order. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Fiscal Policy Subcommittee will not meet on Thursday, January 19th. The next meeting will be at 8:30 a.m. on Friday, January 20th in the House Finance Room.
Are there other announcements? Mr. Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a work session tomorrow evening at 4:30 on House Bill 37, the school construction bill, and it is being teleconferenced.
Mr. Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Jacko mentioned the other day today's luncheon, or 3:30 this afternoon, the International Trade and Tourism Committee of the Senate will be meeting in conjunction with the Tourism Working Group of the House to discuss international tourism with various members concerned with that issue, including people from the Anchorage International Airport. Members are invited to attend. It will be held in Senate Finance.
Other announcements? Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, there will be a minority caucus this afternoon, the minority caucus room in the court building at 4 o'clock.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to unfinished business for some excused absences?
Is there objection? Hearing none, we are under unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Sherry Davis be excused from the call of the House from Thursday, January 19th, until playing time Monday, January 23rd, and from 12 p.m. Friday, February 3rd, until playing time Monday, February 6th.
Could I have an at ease motion, please?
Could we have an at ease?
We are at ease. The clerk informs me that there was a motion that she wasn't sure if we acted on, but the motion was to excuse Representative Davis. Hearing no objection, that excuse is granted. Under announcements, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a majority caucus immediately on adjournment today, and there will also be a meeting of the committee chairman at noon today in the Speaker's office.
Are there other announcements? Are there special orders? Mr. Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just had to make a comment on the bulletin in the Times here where it says seven-car pileup snarls traffic on the Glen. And, of course, that's the four-lane project across the flats. Just to reemphasize the fact that we have had hundreds of accidents and many deaths on that highway, including Bonsteel, who was the Congressional Medal of Honor winner, where we have a memorial up the highway on. He survived the rigors of Vietnam but was killed on the Palmer Flats when the trailer that someone was towing was released. It wasn't secured properly and wound up getting killed. I think that the project also runs through your district, Mr. Speaker, and the other representative, although there are miles of it, there's not too many voters in that area that's in there. But the commuting from the valley is about 7,000 to 8,000 commuters. And I just want to reemphasize the fact that it is a very important project. I know it's a federal project, but we have had some snags from Fish and Game and some other things. It is on schedule for starting construction in 91, completed in 93, and we're just hoping very strong that that project stays on schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gall, did you seek the floor?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor. Excuse me. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak for a moment about the waste of fish.
Hearing no objection, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Pardon my microphone. Last summer, I had a few experiences, and I'd like to just relate them as quickly as I can to the group because I think the issue is going to come up, and I hope maybe you could take just a few moments to think about it. A gentleman in fishing out of Cake was fishing in the halibut fishery, and he had his gear down when the bell rang. And the opening was over, and he had to pull his gear, and Fish and Game was sitting right next to him. And he said, well, can I pull my gear? And the officer or the employee, I'm not sure if it was Fish and Wildlife Protection or Fish and Game, said, sure, you can pull your gear, but you've got to dump the fish. So the fellow pulls in his gear and checked out what was happening, and his crew dumped 50,000 pounds of halibut into the water. And in order to conform with the law, that's what he had to do. In Yakutat this summer, they have a set net fishery there. And in an effort to conserve king salmon, a regulation was passed that required that they were allowed for a while to throw the live ones over the net and keep the dead ones. Well, you know how that goes. It's somewhat hard after the fact to tell which fish was dead and which was alive, so the department changed the rules to say that all king salmon had to be thrown back into the water on the upriver side of the net, dead or alive. And as those of you who represent small rural areas can imagine, this caused a lot of heartache as well as heartburn to the people involved, who felt that it was, you know, basically a crime against nature as well as a burden to them economically. In Haines and other areas, if you're a subsistence fisherman, some fish are legal, some fish are not. And if you catch an illegal fish, once again, you're expected to return it to the water dead. In the troll fishery, the fishermen, depending on the time of year, either on kings or cohos, are required to, they say, shake the fish. You know, turn back those dead fish to the water if they are illegal fish. In other words, if it's a king salmon opening and you catch a coho, you have to return it. And likewise, if it's a coho opening and you catch a king, you have to return it. The bottom line is that an awful lot of our regulations to manage the illegal catch of fish, which need to be protected, are causing wanton waste directly. And we're going to explore the issue further. I'm going to bring it before the Resources Committee. But those of you who represent coastal areas, I hope you'd give some thought to it, because as we try to find a solution, one of the things that we have to avoid is creating a condition for the department where they do not have the opportunity to enforce the capture of fish which are closed, which are not open for fishing. What they say is, if we change the rules in any way, folks will catch these illegal fish and they'll sell them or keep them. And if they see us coming, let's say the rule is you have to cut the head off the fish if it's an illegal fish, so you can't sell it. Well, you see the Fish and Game coming, and all of a sudden somebody starts cutting heads off fish, you know. Well, this is the concern that the department has raised. I think it's a legitimate concern, but I think it's outweighed by the tremendous waste that's taking place in our fisheries today. And I'm not asking for action or support, but just for you to consider the issue as it affects your district, so that if discussions begin to develop, they can be responsible discussions based on the real needs of your people, and also recognizing the needs of the department. And I appreciate the opportunity to bring it before the attention of the body.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we please move back to introductions? Announcement of committees?
Hearing no objection, we're under announcements.
Thank you. Just want to announce for all of the Anchorage House members that tomorrow afternoon at noon in House Finance, we will be meeting to select a new Anchorage Caucus chair. I would ask all of the members to be there on time because we only have a limited amount of time in the room. Thank you.
All right, ma'am. We are back under special orders. Are there further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday morning.
Hearing no objection,